by my bookie. Hayden, good afternoon. Sure, you're looking I don't know how you're looking. You're looking good, man. You look all right.
Looks like he's well rested.
Good, not bad. Well rested. There you go. Tanned, rested, and relaxed. How about that?
Survived an earthquake.
Yeah, it's nice to have a long weekend with school.
What do you got for us?
Number one, the Tennessee Volunteers defeated the Vanderbilt Commodores on Saturday night by the score of 66-45. The story of the night was Vanderbilt going scoreless from the three-point arc for the first time ever.
About that, man. I mean,
other fans.
First of all, that is an impressive feat that they made it this long. I remember like John Ward talking about that back in.
Too
in
bad
the day.
It's over now.
It's sweet to be the team
years.
That took it down. You thought that last one was going to go down too. It was like halfway down, popped back out.
Well, they made one, but they wiped it off with the shot clock.
And I'm
violation.
Not so sure
that shot clock had sounded. That Vanderbilt never been able to get the shot off.
I put video proof out. Shot clock happened. It felt bad for him. Then all the fans are pissed because Jerry Stackhouse was downplaying it.
You felt bad for him.
I'm talking about the player that shot the three that got waved off. Like he thought that he had it. Tennessee was up 23 at that point, for God's sake.
I hope he never hits another shot in his life. Feel bad for him.
A little harsh.
Number two, the Tennessee Titans fell to the Kansas City Chiefs by the score of 35-24 yesterday. The Chiefs will now face the 49ers in Super Bowl 54, where they are favored by 2 on MyBookie.
Way to really bring up bad memories.
Should be a classic Super Bowl, man. I mean, you got the Chiefs. One thing I'm not looking forward to, and I don't mean to get off track here, be controversial, because it's not my style. We have 2 weeks of, like, the woke folk going in on the Chiefs for being the Chiefs, aren't we?
No.
Tomahawk chop. I already saw
really?
It, man. Oh, yeah.
I hope not. I can't deal with that, man. We already got 2 weeks before we play the darn game.
Oh, I guarantee you it's going to be a big topic of discussion. Can't not be. It's 2020.
Depressing.
Number three.
Chandler Parsons suffered a potential career-ending injury following a car crash on January 15th. The driver that he was in a car crash with has apparently been charged with a DUI.
I'm sorry, Chandler.
Chandler Parsons.
What happened now?
He got hit by a drunk driver, Russell, and he has potentially career-threatening injuries from the wreck.
A while ago.
Yeah, he's playing for the.
That sucks.
Yeah, it was last week.
Who's he playing for?
The Hawks now.
It just came out now?
Yeah, his lawyer just came out today and said that it's probably potentially career-ending.
What happened?
Well, they said he got in a wreck last week. They just didn't go into details. Yep. But now the details are coming out. Said he tore his labrum, got a concussion, did a bunch of other things. Yeah. It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
It can happen at any time.
I know that. I'm just
that is just – yeah, that's awful, man, even for a Florida Gator. I hope he recovers and gets to play more if that's what he wants to do.
Number four, Baylor has replaced Gonzaga as the number one team in the AP poll. This is the 7th new number one team this season, and Gonzaga and Baylor were the only 2 top 5 teams to be undefeated last week.
Is this the first time Baylor's ever been ranked number one?
I'm not sure.
I mean, I know Scott Drew has had some nice teams down there, but it doesn't feel like they've ever been number one before.
Well, they won't be after tonight, so it's all good.
Hey, buddy.
That's impressive. I guess Baylor, number one in the country.
Play Oklahoma.
What do the kids say? Watpa? They play Oklahoma tonight. Are they good?
Did you just say Watpa?
Watpa.
The heck's Watpa?
What a time to be alive.
Oh, gosh.
Come on, Trey. When I'm cluing you in, you're supposed to be Mr. Social Media here, and I'm the one dropping the hashtag on you.
Watpa was.
Watpa.
Ba or pa?
Wapa.
Because I've seen WATPA.
How does that work?
I don't know, but I'm too embarrassed to ask these guys. It's a long story. It's a bunch of Scottish dudes.
Yeah, let's move along. Christopher Smith, my
bookie. How are we supposed to know?
Joining us on the show this afternoon. Christopher, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Doing well. How are you guys doing today?
I'm in mourning, you know, my Titans. I was hoping to be talking to you about Super Bowl matchup. You know, I'm sure we would have been like a 7 or 8 point underdog, and and that would have been cool or whatever. But you know, it is what it is. We're moving along. We're on to the off season, to paraphrase Bill Belichick. But it is what it is. Chiefs, Niners. Your initial thoughts? I see the Niners a 1.5 point favorite according to my bookie.
Yeah, so it looks like it's actually moved up to Chiefs -2, and we opened the total at 52.5. That's gone to 55 now, and a lot of places actually opened Pick'em, and we opened it Chiefs -1.5. So I think clearly we will be rooting for San Francisco as well as the under at my bookie. And last year we – you know, everybody and their mother bet on the Patriots, and that did not go well for us at all. So we're definitely hoping the Super Bowl treats us a little bit better, and we can pay the bills and keep the lights on.
Got y'all's money taken. No, it'll be interesting. Look, coming up now, let me ask you something. Prop bets start kind of filtering out, and you guys are going to have a lot of these and maybe some squares contest, stuff along those lines. But if you're looking at prop bets right now, what is something you try to get on at this moment? Because of maybe the odds or, you know, because that's what the Super Bowl, a lot of people bet these props, and that's kind of one of the fancy things to do.
Yeah, I would say, like, obviously this is sort of a unique point in the betting calendar along with March Madness and the Kentucky Derby where you have so many casual bettors that they're not going to bet on every single week of the NFL season, but they're going to show up for the Super Bowl and they're going to bet. So I think you can use that information. Like, in other words, if a bunch of people who are not really every week bettors, and hence I think you would define those people as square money in the market, if there's a lot more square money in the market, then the line actually has a chance, especially on props, to be more inefficient. And, of course, for example, the public knows Patrick Mahomes is good and throws through a lot of touchdowns. So I think you have to look and see, is there an advantageous matchup for the 49ers defense, for example, because there's going to be so much money betting on props such as, you know, Patrick Mahomes touchdown passes or Patrick Mahomes total passing yards, that the line will probably be a little bit inflated from what it might, what the true number or the true market should be. And then the other thing is you want to avoid prop bets. Like, there's one every year that's, will the coin toss be heads or tails? And that's sort of like the definition of like a degenerate kind of bet, just because it's like a coin flip and either you win or you lose and that's it. But, there's a VIG on every bet, including that one. So it's a minus EV, or your expected return over a long period of time is actually to lose money on that bet. So I would avoid that one and try to find some props that maybe go against what the average fan who doesn't really follow the sport that quickly would just automatically assume is the right play.
You mean like the amount of time the national anthem's going to take, or how long the halftime show is, what color jerseys they're going to wear? Things always get wild. Christopher, I want to ask you one more question, buddy. College basketball in the SEC, crazy time for betting, man, because you couldn't have told me that, you know, Georgia was going to go into Starkville and get blown out by 28 points. Like, things just seem to be a little off this season so far.
Yeah, I think if you pay attention, even if you just started watching college basketball, you know, after bowl season ended, I think you've probably noticed, if you've kept up with it at all, that even if you just check like the scoreboard every night and just see like, okay, who's playing in the top 25, you've seen a lot of teams, almost as many teams with the number next to their name losing. Like unranked teams have been beating ranked teams at a historic clip this season. And I think there's a parallel to that in the SEC, right, which is basically last year it's maybe as strong as I can remember it being since the 90s. And this season, of course, you have a handful of teams at the top that are clearly the best teams. That's, you know, Kentucky, LSU, Auburn, Florida, and Arkansas, I think. But the gap between first and at least down to maybe about 11 or 12 is much, much smaller than it was in the last few seasons. So I think the key thing with college basketball this year is be very, very careful if you're going to bet on a favorite, especially if the number is of any significant size, because underdogs can easily win outright in a lot of these games.
Great stuff, as always, Christopher. Appreciate your time. Anything else going on over at MyBookie our listeners need to be aware of?
I would say just make sure you're paying attention to our Twitter account, which is at BetMyBookie on Thursday, because that's the day where we're going to throw it out there. Hey, if you got a prop idea that you want us to see put on our site and allow you to bet on, let us know what it is, and we will immediately take some of those and turn them into bets on the site. So if you want to be part of that, or you just want to watch and see what crazy ideas that people have, then Thursday will be the day for that.
All right, very good. Christopher Smith, mybookie.ag. Check him out. Christopher, thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Christopher Smith making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive. Let's work in a call from Hambone. No Hambone?
Hambone dropped.
Hamboneless? Oh, no.
You can make your own prop bets.
Yeah, how about that? What would you want to bet on? Anything. Super Bowl.
Excuse me. What color outfit the national singer will wear?
What about rain? South Florida, will it rain at some point during the game? 3.5 hours in South Florida.
What about
it rained last time. The last time.
What kind of jets are going to make up the flyover?
Correct me if I'm mistaken. The last time we had the Super Bowl.
Prince?
Was it Prince? But yeah, it was the.
When the rain started pouring down when he was singing Purple Rain?
It was 06.
That was badass.
The year Peyton won against Lovie Smith and the Bears.
That was probably the coolest halftime performance.
I'm still partial to U2 in 01. After
nothing's going to top U2 in 01 when they drape the names, man. Nothing tops that. You can get emotional, but I'm saying, like, from a rock and roll standpoint, he takes off that whatever he was wearing on top of his head. Prince did, slings it down, just grabs his guitar, and just starts just going at it.
Yeah, you're on camera. Don't wait. Oh, no, I do want to see it. Dude, do your air guitar again.
Nope.
It looked like Pee Wee Herman in an adult theater. What are you doing, Trey?
Oh, my God.
It's getting a little awkward now.
Trey's holding his own. Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on The Drive.
Hey. How are you doing, Trey?
Doing well, thanks.
Guys, our compliance department over. Is it being well run over there? Go back to Aubrey Solomon. He barely got in by the skin of his teeth.
And then you have to be asking the question. I mean, I'm sure that Fulmer and Pruitt will be wanting to know why this happened and make darn sure that it doesn't happen again.
And Plavitt should have been eligible from day one. And, you know, of course, they probably should have had an attorney in to do that. But, you know. I just think their compliance department is mediocre.
They've certainly had a couple of black eyes here.
Well, they're
recently.
Not giving good examples of how they're doing a good job.
Do what?
They're not giving a good example of how they are doing a good job.
That's a point. But anybody that got any common sense knows the reason why Hardy went to Auburn. They don't need to worry about the signing and this, that, and the other. Rodney Garner got him down there, and everybody knows how he got him down there.
How did he get him down there?
He was enticed very well. You know what I'm saying? Good recruiting.
What was it?
I wish we still had Rodney. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
We wouldn't have a national championship if it weren't for Rodney Garner.
Is Bobby Lauder still down there?
Goodness gracious. That's
remember Bobby Lauder? Yeah.
Wow.
You remember that name, Phil?
Yeah, he was the power. He was the. The Heisman was
at a bank.
He was the bank in Montgomery.
And now it's Dye's Cabin.
Dye's Cabin is where they go
I
now.
I love Pat Dye's Cabin, man.
No, and that's the God's honest truth. That's where they send. Well,
what goes on in that cabin? A lot of home cooking?
I guess I don't know, man. I've never been there.
I guess a lot of luggage is all I can think of.
It's kind
of
like Roy Adams' home in Memphis. There are these mythical places in SEC football lore, Phil, that we can only – us mere mortals can only speculate what happens behind their walls.
You ever seen pictures of his cabin? It's pretty nice.
Who would ever have thought that Tennessee would be tied with Buck Pearl in the SEC standings? Is that right?
Yeah.
Where's Jamie? I mean, last week Jamie called.
Where's Utah?
He called in.
Oh, he's moving on. Fawn
all over Bruce Pearl and how he's God's gift to basketball, and there could never be another coach as good as Bruce Pearl for Tennessee. And now that Pearl's gotten bent over a barrel and shown the 50 states this past two games, not a peep out of Jamie Utah.
19-22, 3 points they've lost by.
Did y'all watch James Springer last night going up as the number one player in the country?
I saw that. That was pretty interesting last night.
How'd he do?
Yeah. He held his own. The guy's clearly a stud. That
a lot bigger
Cunningham or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
He's going to Oklahoma State. He'll be a one and done for sure.
I heard Springer in a head-to-head matchup with Anthony Edwards last year more than held his own as a high school junior. So.
Well, Keon and him and Corey Walker will upgrade our ability to score next year, which is our problem.
What do you take away from Saturday, Phil?
Not much. I mean, we beat a sorry team. But, I mean, Vanderbilt's played everybody tough in the first half, and they don't have anything left in the second half. I mean, they gave Buck Pearl. They won down there at Auburn when they played them, 2 weeks ago.
That's an historically inept SEC basketball program right now, what they're
Jerry
going through.
Took over some.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy because they've been a thorn in our side for, even though we own the series by, about 50 wins. It's been a rivalry, but now it's not a rivalry. They're a joke.
You know, that's what happens when you've lost.
Doesn't it just break your heart, Philly?
Hey, don't break my heart one bit. I love beating the scum. One more thing.
It's harsh.
Cotton down.
Oh, yeah. You're going to hit and run, huh, Phil?
Right.
Tell you hit and run. Where was your team? Where was your team, Phil?
Hiring Mike McCarthy.
Oh, yeah. So you retread Central, the Dallas Cowboys, yesterday's team. Bunch of has-beens and never was-es. Never was-he-was-he's.
Wouldn't go that far.
Yeah,
but they've got rings.
They've got rings. I mean, nothing this century. Tide's been to a Super Bowl sooner, whatever I'm trying to say, before they did.
I don't even know if that's possible.
Well, they...
Like the Cowboys. The Cowboys hadn't won a certain amount of playoff games. The Cowboys hadn't made...
They've only won two playoff games in
right,
like
a Super Bowl.
Years.
I mean,
Titans won more than that, Philly. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, big boy. How does that strike you on a Monday afternoon? The Titans are the superior football franchise to your crummy Cowboys, haven't done jack squat since Bill Clinton was still getting it on with his interns in the Oval Office.
They called him a Yankee.
It's been a minute, Phil. How about this? The last time the Cowboys won the Super Bowl, yours truly, Little Dubsy, was at Bearden Middle School. It was at Bearden Middle School, just trying to fit in. Just trying to figure out where he fit into this crazy world. Probably listen to the Nirvana or Pearl Jam. Or maybe the Spin Doctors back in the day. Yeah.
Cranberries.
It was a guilty pleasure. Cranberries aren't even a guilty pleasure. That was good music, man.
It was.
Dolores O'Riordan.
Yeah, it was.
Zombie. Zombie. That's what your Cowboys are right now, Phil. A bunch of zombies. Irrelevant. Nothing. See, you hung up, you did a hit and run, and you could have sat and held a conversation with me. We could have had a back and forth, but no, you did a hit and run, and this is what you get. This is what you get. You get pile-driven on the way out. Your team sucks. The Cowboys are irrelevant. They're nothing. They don't matter. They grovel at the boots. They're not even worthy to grovel at the boots. Not worthy of shining Mike Vrabel's boots. That's the truth about your Cowboys. They're irrelevant. And that's the bottom line, Phil. Own it!
The Drive. It's time for the Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot Question of the Day. Brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Located in Cove Lake State Park. Online at RickardRidgeBBQ.com.
I need to get some pest control up in here, man.
I mean,
you ain't getting rid of the morning crew,
Houston.
That was good, Trey. See, you when you drop a bomb like that, you need to step up and drop it more authoritatively. I mean, Bear was going to gloss right over that.
No, I said Houston, Davey Hudson, and Bay Area Billy, and all the shenanigans with their food that they never throw out.
I like how he's leaving out the Godfather.
Yeah, he didn't get it. All right, Rickard Ridge Barbecue, smoking hot question. Would you welcome Jay Hardy back to Tennessee as a transfer in a few years, as a Cade Mays type situation?
Why are you doing this? Okay.
By the way, 72 votes cast on Twitter right now, 50-50. That breaks down to 36-36 for those of you keeping track at home. That's math.
Before you interrupted me and went on to the hot question, I was going to say that the three of them with their food. And
you're
honestly
going back to this, really?
Yeah. Under the somewhat questionable leadership of one Nate Hodges, we've got a pest problem at the station now.
Wow.
There's a bag of Hawaiian rolls that's been out there since the end of August, Russ.
That is true. Like, why is there, like, the cans of soup and stuff?
There's a can of pork brains on the desk out there, for God's sakes.
We're getting ready for the apocalypse.
It is true, man. Something needs to be done about this.
I mean, what do we do? I mean, Nate's the boss.
We hold a vote.
What, like a hostile takeover?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Are you openly contemplating on the air removing the Godfather from his own station? I mean, what?
I meant take a vote as in who do we get to clean it, not take a vote as in we're going over to Coop.
Well, my vote is somebody from three and out needs to throw this stuff out.
We're having a what, Trey?
I don't want to say.
We're throwing
it.
A what?
I don't want to say.
Say it.
A coop.
What? It's a military coop?
Yeah. Greater Mobile Board of Education. I mean, he can call in right now. We'd slit your throat before the next commercial break.
Oh!
You ordered it. I can't believe you went at him like that.
Wait a minute, who are you talking about? I didn't go after him. I said we have to take a vote on who cleans it.
You're subverting him.
You're talking about a military coup right here on the Drive.
But how is that a military coup?
I don't know. It's a good way to get whacked.
Yeah, I've seen it happen for less than that.
So we're talking about Tim Tebow now?
No. That was hot question. What was the hot question?
Jay Hardy.
Jay Hardy. Well,
he was talking about
take it back.
Whacked.
Right? I mean, I would never close the door off to anything, but, I wouldn't care if he flipped now. He'd keep his money from Auburn.
I'd take it back right now. I would, too, man.
I probably would. I'd tell him he needs to get in the damn weight room after what I saw.
Here's the thing, man.
What do? Just show up at the front of Auburn's complex and drop the bag off?
No. I can't even give the money back.
I can't even be mad at Auburn, man. I wish we would be that cutthroat. I wish we had a Rodney Garner on our staff who would not only go into somebody else's backyard and steal their cookies, but lead them on like that and send them on a wild goose chase afterwards thinking they could get it back. I wish we had that kind of cutthroat mentality around here, man. That's what we need, Jeremy Pruitt. Go out there. You got a staff opening right now.
Go out there and find another
Niedermeyer, man. Go out there and get it.
Why did we ever let him leave?
I mean, I would assume we tried to get him to stay. Kiffin tried to get him back. Remember that? Like, we thought he was coming back in 09.
I was so happy.
Why would he
Is he the dirtiest
back?
Player in the game? Money. Stacks of it.
Look, he's one of those guys that knows where the bodies are buried in the SEC.
Exactly. That's why we wanted him back.
You try to turn him in, he's going to turn around and get you on 5 years of probation.
What's the crazy? You're down there for a long time. What's the craziest Rodney Garner story you ever heard? Just throw it out there. Not necessarily true, because
the most money?
Probably the Cam.
Cam Newton. What did you hear about Garner?
Probably the Cam Newton situation.
That they paid $300,000 or $400,000
for. That he was the one that made the drop at the church.
My favorite Garner story was, and I don't know if this is true. I'm not even going to say which recruit it was because I don't even remember which recruit it was. But
I can about tell you if you tell me how much it was.
It's not about money.
Oh.
It's about, they said he would go, and I have no idea if this is true or not, but he would go and pick up, first of all, he would take the recruits and their mamas to church.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then after church, he would ride around and smoke blunts with the recruits in the car. I don't know if it's true. I just heard it.
Story's better that way?
That's what I heard.
What's the most you've ever heard that we allegedly might have?
I'm not a grass expert.
I ain't going down this road.
I know you've heard wilder stories than this. I mean, why does it have to be money? I mean, like, that doesn't do much for me. I mean, come on. I want to hear about, like, prostitutes, drugs, stuff.
I've heard that he spent 4 or 5 hours in a strip club in Montgomery with two high-profile recruits.
Oh! That's what I want.
Right near the casino.
They got casinos in Montgomery?
Yeah, they got an Indian casino down there in that area.
Please, Native American,
please, Trey.
What? I'm sorry. Well, that's what they call them down in Alabama, the one right off the interstate in Atmore.
They call a lot of things stuff down there in Alabama.
It's called the Wind Creek.
I don't care. I'm not triggered at all by Indian. I say Indians, too.
Well, I just call it Indian casino.
It's a Native American casino. The Indians live over in India. Couldn't help it. Christopher Columbus was wrong about where he
down in Alabama, landed. The way you get away with it is you give in casino chips.
So you get away with it in Mississippi and probably everywhere else.
When are we going to legalize gambling? I can't believe I just told the Rodney Garner thing about smoking weed with the players.
You did, but that's okay. You didn't name any players, so you're good.
I don't know if it's true, man. It's crazy.
That one I find hard to believe.
Bite your tongue, Russell.
I really do. Because if you get pulled over, you are meat. I mean, you're dead. There's no coming back from that.
That's a good point. That's a good point, brother.
I don't know if you know the cops in the area.
Yeah, but what are the chances of that?
That's a good point, Trey. You are in Alabama, Russell.
Yeah.
Or was this in Tennessee?
You're in Alabama, man.
In Tennessee?
Tennessee.
This in Tennessee.
What?
Yeah.
How do you say our state?
Say that?
Tennessee.
There you go. Now, Tennessee.
It was one word in Tennessee.
865-546-8200. What do you think, Rodney
Garner? Rodney thinks happy.
I think we'd all take Rodney Garner back. Jay Hardy, would you take him back? 865-546-8200. Stay with us. More of your phone calls coming up after the break right here on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Russell Bear and Trey cruise along with you. 865-546-8200. Your number to get back on the show. I see where ESPN Game Day is going to be in Kansas for the UT game.
Slaughtering.
Think so?
No, I honestly think Tennessee keeps it in like 15.
That's kind of my hope. Like, is that a loser mentality, man? Should we be beyond that? Rick Barnes, like, should we?
I mean, normally I would say yes, that's a loser mentality, but. I don't know. No, yeah, that is. We don't need to go in there looking like we're just going to try and not get beat by more than 15.
Well, and I'm sure Rick Barnes will have that approach, like with the players. But I wonder about that too. Like when
go in there and shock the world.
You know, like Kiffin's first year. Remember when like Florida, they were favored by what, like 20 plus against us. Like they were just going to slaughter us and. Every football coach goes into a game with a, quote, plan to win, you know? No matter if it's like Furman will come in here next year with a plan to win. Georgia State came in here with a plan to win, and it worked. But, like, everybody has a plan to win, right? But I often wonder, like, do coaches, when they know they're thoroughly outmatched, like,
well, I mean,
in the back of their mind?
Yeah, I mean, sure, I think Kiffin did that year, but I think he also knew the only avenue to win in that game was to go in there and dirty it up. And just try and hold them down and keep it close enough to where, you know, that team with Eric Berry was capable of making one or two plays. Eric made one. Made that big one with the interception return. And, you know, that was probably the only way that conceivably we were going to win that game is just to keep it close and hope that it hinged on one play and Eric Berry could make it.
I was in the stands for that game. That was –
pretty Kansas wild. Up to number three.
Number three?
Yep.
It's a nice little bump.
I don't know. I don't even 15, know who's Auburn's who's 16. Good and who's not. Auburn's not six. I mean, I know they're ranked 16. They don't look very good.
East Tennessee State's in the other receiving votes category.
He's getting it going up there.
Rutgers is in the top 25 now.
Well, we can all die happy now.
Why?
I don't know. Rutgers is finally in the top
Memphis is number 20. Texas Tech is sustained. Man, they're, you know, a year from Final Four, they're number 18. There's not a dominant team, and I've not followed it super close. Obviously, Baylor has hit on something. Gonzaga is very good again this year. But that's what kind of gives me hope is you look around, and even that, you know, last week after we lost to Georgia, and I was saying, look around the league, you know, even that Auburn team, they got drilled, and they got drilled again. And so I just look around the SEC, and we all knew that this was not going to be a Final Four type year. I don't think anybody had that kind of level of expectation coming into the season. But as far as being a good SEC team and making the NCAA tournament, like, that's all still out there for Tennessee. And if you can hold your own, and this is a Ole Miss team coming in here tomorrow night that ranks like lower than 100, I want to say 109th or something like that on KenPom. If you beat those guys, guess what? You're going up to Allen Fieldhouse, take on the Kansas Jayhawks at 12-6 overall, 4-2 in the league. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's all right.
You take it.
No bad losses.
Come home, play A&M.
Yeah, now the schedule after that gets a little tougher.
I think Tennessee could end up at 5-2 before things get tough.
Well, there's your, yeah, sure. Your Floridas, your Kentuckys, your Auburns start showing up at that point. But
even your Arkansas's.
Again, as I've been saying for the past month, as we've been going through these struggles, it's like, all right, I'm not trying to sell you on anything that we're better than we're. All I'm saying is, we got a young team. It has been a really weird year as far as Lamonte getting hurt. Josiah was hurt to start the year. Then you get these two foreign players like eligible in the middle of the season. It's just been a really strange year. The roster is finally like stopped spinning. These are the 10 guys we're going to have for the year.
Nothing else to add.
Yeah.
Right.
So let's see what Barnes can get done over the course of the next couple of weeks, and can we improve a little bit? That Kentucky team,
yeah,
that Rick Barnes has not lost to,
no,
in Knoxville since he's been here, lost at South Carolina, a team that we beat earlier.
True.
We can have big wins in this season. I expect to beat Kentucky here. I expect to beat Florida here. I expect to have a couple of nice wins that you can hang your hat on. And as long as you don't fall on your face in a game like tomorrow night against Ole Miss, as long as you don't let that pile of crap Vanderbilt team come into Thompson Bowling and beat you, you're going to have a chance to be right there around 18, 19, 20 wins at the end of the season with a chance to squeak into the NCAA tournament. And after all that's gone wrong, as far as the Lamonte Turner injury, Josiah being a little bit behind, Plavsic not initially being ruled eligible, after all that, if Rick Barnes can get this team to the tournament, I don't know if he's earned $5 million, which is what he's making now, but he's earned something, because that would be a damn good coaching job, in my opinion.
Get him to a – I'm having a hard time disagreeing. Get him to a certain point before you get to the meat of the schedule. And, you know, even if they go out to Lawrence. I mean, if you go out to Lawrence and play that game 5-6 points, you're setting up well for the rest of the season. And I think Tennessee's lineup has just been so inconsistent over the last 5 weeks. Now you're starting to get some games under your belt where you got Vescovi, and you know who you're going to start and who's coming off the bench. And it was Eros' second game. And so you're starting to build up to that point.
Today's Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day. Would you welcome Jay Hardy back to Tennessee as a transfer in a few years? And this one is smoking hot indeed. 48% say yes.
Wow.
52% say no. So that is right down the middle.
Nip, nop, doop, dope. Don't want him.
Your comments?
Yeah.
I thought you said you wanted him.
No, that's what the people are saying. I'd probably take him back.
Oh, they're not saying. I mean, it's 50-50. It's 52-48, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, that could change. I would take him. I'd take him out right now, man. It's recruiting. Kids say stupid stuff. Kids are put up to stupid stuff. We don't know the full story about what went on. We know a lot about it. No, he didn't handle the thing well. Obviously, he lied. You don't want to be lying publicly. That's not a good way to start your public life as a football player.
How many
player.
Of us told lies at age 17, Russ?
I've told like three lies today. Like, it's what you do, man. Like, listen, the kid can play. The only way we're going to get out of this thing is to recruit our way out of it. I think I've told three lies today. Have I lied about anything today?
I don't know.
No, I ask myself out loud. Do you think I've lied about anything today?
It's tough. I mean, we hadn't talked about a lot, really.
I think I've been 100% honest today. Now, it's early.
With everybody?
Well, you know, you tell little white lies, you know.
Yeah, I told one of those this morning.
What'd you tell? Go ahead. Go ahead.
Ask girl who I work with. She asked me how something new she was doing, how it looked. And I was like, yeah, it looks great.
That's a good one.
Looks fantastic.
An avoiding confrontation lie.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Yeah, I usually don't mix real well with those.
Yeah.
So I don't know why she asked me. I mean, do I look like a fashionista, like a stylist?
Does her clothes look good?
Yeah.
Oh.
I just stopped and looked at her, and I was like.
I thought you were saying, like, did she clean something up well or something?
No. I was like, I looked around. I was like, really? You're asking me? Yeah, you look great.
Look great, kid.
Kiddo.
I don't mean that as a sexist comment.
Trey, you told any lies today?
I don't think so.
Hayden?
What's today?
This can be our fan-run confessional right here.
Today's Monday.
No, I don't think I've told any yet. I haven't really talked to anyone.
I did. I didn't want damn whipped cream on my coffee, and Starbucks screwed it up.
It's okay.
I got to the line, though. I'm the one that forgot to tell them no whipped cream, but then I said, hey, I thought I told y'all no whipped cream.
That's
I didn't
a
say
white
like
lie.
That.
No, that's pretty.
You're like, sir, we'll take it off the
that's
top.
That's pretty
for
duplicitous,
you.
Trey. That's good though. I mean, I wouldn't even think.
Well,
to
I remembered. I remembered.
That's
right
pretty awesome.
When I got around the corner, I was like, damn, it don't forget.
You buy coffee at Starbucks?
Sometimes.
How much does that go for?
I don't know. $3.
No way.
Yeah, it's a little pricey.
But I get it. I get a good sized coffee.
Lies of omission, like you come home and your wife's like, oh, I made dinner. It's like, oh, I'm not that hungry. And you tell her that you stopped at McDonald's and slammed a double cheeseburger on your way home, you know. You maybe go out of your way to, like, find a trash can at a gas station to throw away the evidence. You know, oh, no, just
I mean, she listens to this show, man.
I know.
It's like Tennessee football fans lying to their doctors.
You listen,
they had
I know.
Like you've
problems.
Done sometimes, like, you'll find out what you're having for dinner. And then you'll stop.
Yeah, I've done that a couple
true.
Of times where you stop.
I don't think that's
Arby's.
You're telling the truth.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Because you always tell everybody when it's something you really like. Your hot beef sandwiches.
Your crystals.
No, it's just stuff that, you know. What is significant
it? Didn't Tyler say he was going to get that lie detector in here? We were talking to the KCB.
You ain't putting that thing on me.
Come on.
No.
Stay on.
Limitations
why don't
over.
You put it on?
I'll put it on, sure.
Give me just.
What do you want to know?
I don't know.
I'll tell you the truth about anything you want to know right now, Bear. Ask any question.
Did you take 3 and Out's helmets?
No.
Do you know who did?
No.
Did you suspect me?
Yes.
Yes.
Was I the prime suspect?
I don't know if there was a prime suspect. I don't think so.
complete the investigation.
I didn't say
the fact that you would ask me that, though, that that's right. the first place you go to shows me a conscience of guilt.
Of all the things.
It's always simmering under the surface with those guys. Like the way they look at us, the rest of the shows. If somebody took them. It wasn't me. I'll look around at the rest of you guys. I'm trying to figure out who did it.
I was in Auburn, so couldn't have been me.
You ever stolen anything from here?
From here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Houston's. I think they were Houston's. That's why I was stealing, because I thought they were Houston's. Legal pads. Like, I just rip off the sheet when he had a freshman, and I just take it, make it mine. Sharpies. Office supplies mainly.
I took one of Bear's waters one day when I first started here.
I've got a confession.
That ain't go over well.
Did you drink my Icelandia?
No, I don't drink your water in the last year. I'm talking about when I first got here. I didn't know it was yours. I wouldn't dare do it now, knowing your tolerance of violence.
Well, they aren't free, number one. Those have been paid for. I guess I'll have to put my name on them around your trail. It's all right.
What the hell? Wait a minute. It was one when I first started.
Hold on.
Here.
Wait a minute. He was just offering to own up to
No, it's a bill must pass. Let's take a quick break.
No,
it's
we're not done talking about this yet.
The Drive,
Spin
Fan Run Radio.
Russell, don't take
Fox
it a break,
Sports
Bear.
Knoxville,
you have
back with more after
Bear,
this.
You have control.
Sports fans, this is The Drive.
Let's do 20% for everything. Yeah.
Do 20%?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't try to think about it in your head, okay, how much is the stylist getting a cut from the company?
No, just 20%.
The hell would you care about that?
Well, I mean, if the person's getting stiffed, I mean, if I'm paying $25 for a haircut and shave,
you don't want to go cheap on your haircut tip, because if you're going back there, you know, you want them to
quality of your cut gets better. They'll squeeze you in.
I don't want them with a razor near my neck.
Do you not tip the barber?
No, I always tip the barber. I'm just wondering out loud, like, what is a percentage cut? You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't know.
I'm not going to tip a person that has a razor blade next to my neck that is shaving?
I never get shaven at the
Oh, barber. I do. They're great.
Shaved?
I've never got my face, but like haircut the place
straight
I go, they
razor?
Still straight razor your neck.
Oh, yeah.
But now here's the thing. I won't let a dude do it.
Why?
I don't know. I like dudes touching my head.
Man,
and
I like guys that
you like a masculine touch, Trey.
Like a nice firm grip.
Yeah. I hate y'all so much.
Calloused hands.
Not me.
Stroking your
Brandy,
beard gently.
Marguerite, Megan, Ashley. Doesn't matter. One of the four.
These are experts. These are people that know what they're doing.
Well, you hope so.
But in a way, I never thought I would have ever let a woman near my carotid artery with a straight razor.
Yeah, probably be a good idea for you. Some news coming out of the college football universe, not done by any stretch of the imagination, but an interesting name up for LSU defensive coordinator now that Dave Aranda
is a Bo Pelini, according to Football Scoop.
Going home.
Strong candidate.
Yeah, I always loved him.
Did he and Ogeron work? Have they? No, Ogeron wasn't there with him.
Could you imagine them fighting?
Yes.
That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Who you taking?
Well, that's why I'm a little bit skeptical, is that seems like two hard-headed personalities. Now, the one thing about Ogeron is he does seem like he's really taken a step back and let go and let hire good people and let them work. But most of that is towards – we view that towards offense, right?
Yeah.
He's a defensive guy.
He stayed out of Aranda's way.
Football Scoop saying, from Pelini's perspective, source tells Football Scoop, Bo Pelini would like to have assurances that his brother Carl would become the head coach at Youngstown State before making this move.
Carl Pelini.
Damn, he's really taking one for the fam. Hey, if I'm leaving, I want him as head coach. Make it happen.
I'm sorry, say that again now?
He wants to make sure his brother gets the head coaching job at the
Youngstown?
Place he's at. Yeah.
Huh.
If he leaves.
The Browns are expected to hire Bill Callahan to coach their offensive line.
Bill Callahan? That guy gets around, man.
Retread Central.
I mean, from Nebraska's head coach to
what? There are a few. When you think of all-time worst college coaching hires by big-name programs, Bill Callahan at Nebraska is right up there.
That's
man.
Top five.
That's not tough. That's not anywhere near as boneheaded as Dooley or Botch.
Yeah, it is. Yes, yeah.
He only lasted, what?
He didn't do a damn thing for the Raiders.
Well, and he, you ran off Frank Solich after a 9-3 season.
Did the same thing with Pelini. Yeah, he went 9-3 that last year, didn't he?
Yeah, but that was with all the other crap going on behind it.
What? He just told everybody to F off, didn't he?
Who followed him? Was there somebody between him and Frost?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was. It was the guy from Oregon State, Mike Riley.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
That was just a weird hire.
It lasted 2 years.
A lot of similarities between us and Nebraska.
Yeah, we're just at a little bit more fertile recruiting grounds. We're in the SEC.
Miami's trying to dig their way out of it. We're trying to get Derek King.
Is it Derek or De'Eric?
I don't know. Just whatever. I don't know.
De'Eric.
Derek?
De'Eric.
That too.
Derek, I wonder what he's doing right now. David Ricky.
Getting ready for class. Oh.
865-546-8200. We'll get some more phone calls coming up here, looking ahead towards hour number three. Yesterday.
Did you watch the Hernandez documentary yet on Netflix?
I did.
Oh, ho, ho!
That was amateur.
Pretty trippy stuff in there, though. Like,
it was just so shoddy.
It took you back to the trial because I remember watching that trial.
Like the whole quarterback, he was like the third string quarterback on that team. That whole thing was weird.
Well, yeah, I've heard some of that stuff, but for me, it was
him
just
and his
like,
dad were just cringy.
It was one of those things where I never really followed it that closely, and so to like. Remember exactly what
Dan Wetzel produced it.
It's like, okay, so he obviously killed the one guy, and he also killed the two people in Boston. He was not involved in the Gainesville shooting, and he didn't
kill. They
don't
think.
And he didn't kill the
he wasn't involved in the Gainesville shooting?
They really don't think so. The witness who said they saw him there recanted the story.
But he turned around and also shot his boy in the face in the back seat.
Yeah, he did that. Yeah,
That was the best part for me was the recording of him the next day at the hospital.
That's a weird way to put it.
Well, he's actually right because Dude gets shot in the face and then calls Hernandez the next morning from the hospital.
Sup?
What's up, man?
You think you killed that guy and all of a sudden his name shows up on your caller ID the next day?
You know who
is? What? No. What?
You know what you did?
Ghost? What goes through your mind when you answer that call and it's the guy you think you killed the night before?
You do what he did. You go out and you add this insane security system in your house and you buy about 40 guns because you
hire
shot
a bunch of bodyguards.
As I don't know if you noticed, part of that guy's looked like his jawbone was laying on the ground with an evidence tag next to it.
Yeah, how trippy was that though, man, that he called him the next morning with the cops in the room, dude? Think about that, man.
That guy's a bad boy.
I mean, he said he was sleeping. All of a sudden, he wakes up and he sees a gun in his face. I mean, and then Hernandez comes back and he plays. And then Hernandez has to be the stupidest criminal in the world to do that a half a mile away from his house as well, by the way.
He was not a criminal mastermind.
But he was a sociopath, apparently.
Yeah, a dumbass.
Hour number three of The Drive. Headed your way right here on Fan Run Radio. Top 5 at 5 coming up. Stay with us.